Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As the Bills get set to play the Jets, where do they stand among the challengers now and going forward to the Bills in the AFC East? Plus, Brandon Bean on OBJ, it sounds like the interest is real. And speaking of Bean, he breaks down how deals are talked about, what's true, what's not, and where Dan was right. That's all coming up on this week's edition of the Buffalo Plus Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, the Buffalo Plus Podcast, presented by Connors and Ferris, Mike Catalana, Dan Fates. I am Jenna Cottrell. We are rocking our Buffalo Plus merch. What do you think, everyone? All right, before we get started, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. All right, Mike, Dan, the Bills looking ahead to the Jets this week. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL trade deadline as well, what went down for the Bills. But, Mike, what's your thoughts on this Jets team as the Bills head down to MetLife this upcoming weekend?
So you remember a year ago when people were getting excited with the Jets when it was Mike White, you know, when he got on the field and then the Bills destroyed them. It's not the same thing now. Because their roster is better. There's no question they've improved the roster. But last week was the week for them. 5-2 with the Patriots coming in. Fans all in. All in. Mm-hmm. And then they struggle in that game. There's boos coming down. It wasn't crazy booing, but Zach Wilson heard a lot of it. So I think if you're a Jets fan, you are encouraged by the roster change that they've gotten, guys. But the biggest thing is, they're scared to death that they got it wrong on the quarterback at the moment. And I think that's what's holding – if you're a Jets fan, you've struggled through a lot. That's what's holding you back from thinking this team can really challenge. They are 5-3, so they've won games. I guess it'd be kind of similar to what the Giants are doing, just winning without a great offense and a great quarterback. But there's real concern that they got it wrong with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson so far this season, even though the Bills were, or the Jets were 5-3, you said, Mike?
They are now, yeah.
Yeah. They were winning with Zach Wilson, not because of Zach Wilson. That's something you like to say, and I think that Zach Wilson's like the perfect point of that. Warren Sharp said that Zach Wilson is holding on to the football longer than anybody in the league. Last year, he was the second worst at it, and this year, he's actually gotten worse. He's now holding the football for nearly 3 seconds, 3 seconds plus. And that's not because he's creating plays downfield. Like, this isn't Big Ben extending the plays. This is just him not knowing what he's supposed to do. And I think he had, what, 18 throwaways last week? Like, that's crazy. Like, they got problems with no Breece Hall now. The offensive line is banged up. This, like you said, this is not a scary offense by any means coming in on Sunday or going to on Sunday.
I think with Breece Hall going down, that was, it just changes the complexion of this team so much because it now is on Zach Wilson to be able to create the offense. And we've seen how much he struggled last week in that role. And I think, Dan, when you talk about him just holding onto the football, there's so many plays that I see where he drops back so far to avoid the pressure and you're like, you got to do something with it. But it's like he doesn't want to run forward. Like, it's like sometimes, and we saw, you know, early on with Josh Allen, sometimes would take those terrible sacks, but you saw that development. Obviously Zach Wilson is only in his second year. But you see some of that hesitancy, and with the offense now relying on his shoulders, I mean, there are big question marks. I think that the Jets have played well. I think they've been frisky. What's their tagline? Like, all gas, no break. I think you'll see that all around MetLife Stadium, which I think is like the worst. Like, yeah. Trust the process is at least succinct. But
well, I thought you were just talking about MetLife in general is the worst.
By the way, terrible new stadium. Worst of the new stadiums. Boring, no so personality. Boring. And this is New York's, well, it's Jersey. We get it. New York metro area. It's a boring stadium. I feel badly for, you know, they replaced the stadium and just did a newer version of the same thing.
Yeah.
Boring stadium. Oh, they turn it to green instead of blue. There you go. Big move.
But talking about this team, like, I mean, it's a division game though, Mike.
Yeah.
And the Bills did not beat the Dolphins earlier on the season. So that adds.
Oh, they got to win division games, right? That's the one blemish. The one loss is the one you didn't want. You lost in the division. Mm-hmm. So yes, while Miami is the number one rival right now, you got to win these games. You can't afford division losses. I mean, their goal now is to be 5-1 in the division and just take that out of the mix. So I don't know if Robert Saleh can coach. He seems to have some things going his way. I'll tell you what's helped his defense is getting better players. Sauce Gardner can play.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah, he can play. They're more aggressive on defense. They feel like they can get some pressure. They feel like they can hang in there defensively. Now, I don't know if they can do that against Josh Allen, and I don't know if they can do that when their offense is struggling like it is. But, you know, they had a pick six for a touchdown last week that got called back on a really iffy quarterback roughing against Mac Jones that might have turned that whole thing around. And with that, if that play stood, this still, with all their problems, could have been a 6-2 Jets team that they're playing. Yeah. You guys have been down there. That crowd's going to be fired up. They still have hope. I mean, they try with the Jets. They really try, and they've had nothing recently. But I do think you're right. That's a good word, frisky. I think they feel that way. I think they feel like the roster is better, but we all know this. Until you get the quarterback right, there's not much you're going to really be able to do.
Well, yeah. Not only that, there are other times, too, where C.J. Mosley is the most important player on that defense, at least in years past. Maybe now it's Sauce Gardner. I understand that, but there was a time that before, I think it was opening week last year, that the Bills played the Jets and Mosley was everywhere to start the game and then got injured. And then the Bills just poured it on after. Like, and Josh was he was the first player that Josh mentioned about this Jets defense. They can cause problems defensively, much like I was more worried about the Packers defense than their offense. Very similar story heading into this week, in my opinion.
Mike, I mean, what makes this defense so special? Like, what makes them? You talk about the players and CJ Mosley and Sauce Gardner, but just the way that Sauce Gardner is playing, like, what stands out to you? Because obviously the Bills talked about how during the draft process, they didn't even really look at him because they assumed he was going to be off the board.
Yeah. Oh, he was going to be, and he was a high pick. And, you know, you got to embrace that if you're going to be that guy. And he's got an edge to him. You know, he was wearing the cheese head walking out of Green Bay when they got a win. And, you know, sometimes with corners, they're going to get beat. I'll say one thing. They defend passes. Like last year, it was comical how wide open Bills receivers were. And, you know, Sauce and the other corners, I think they have actually, the stat, defended more passes so far this year than they did all of last season. And last season, guys were just running free. It really was bad for them. So I think that's the difference. I think it's a confidence level. I think it's in all three phases, defense. Again, you look at the numbers, they've been pretty good. And it's hard to play really good defense in this league with a lousy offense.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to play complementary football when your offense, your quarterback is, you know, we talk with Dan Leberfeld, who covers the Jets, and he's like, his completion percentage is 50%. And Dan knows this. I think... Who was it that had the line about completion percentage? I was trying to remember that it's a stat about decision-making. It's not a stat about accuracy. And it really is. You know, when your quarterback is a one-read guy and you take that, and the Bills know that. So what his first read is, Garrett Wilson's a good young wide receiver, you know, but they don't have a lot there at the moment because of the quarterback, I think. He's not able to do that. So I think it makes it tough on the defense, but they believe they're going to go out there. Honestly, I think they walk into the field, they think they're going to keep the Bills contained this week.
Yeah.
Whether they will or they won't, I think they have a chance to do it because they have talent and they have confidence.
It almost reminds me of like 2018 Bills, and obviously Josh Allen had a lot more raw talent and ability than Zach Wilson. But like, I remember Micah Hyde being like, we don't want to give up any, like, we don't expect to give up any points, which obviously is like, okay, well, you know, that's hard to do. But how the defense is like, we have to play essentially not a perfect game, but we have to be on it. We're going to be the part, the unit that like leads this team, and the offense will follow. So that's why it kind of gives me that similar vibe of like a team that's building, a team that's trying to put the pieces together, although things obviously seem very different at the quarterback spot. All right.
Yeah, Dan, it's interesting. One last thing. It's interesting to me is that like, we're talking about how good Sauce Gardner has been, and I was just looking up real quick. This is going to be a different test than they have faced offensively. They lost to Baltimore week one. While Lamar is special, somebody asked me, Jenna, we were talking yesterday at Bills practice. Somebody goes, who are you more afraid of, the Dolphins or the Ravens? And I said, Dolphins. I said, offensively, they scare me more. While I think Lamar is head and shoulders better than Tua still, the fact that you have Waddle and you have Hill and all those guys, like that worries me. They played the Bengals. The Jets did. They lost. Burrow threw for 275. Obviously, you know, you have Chase and Boyd there. They beat the Dolphins, but that was the Skylar Thompson game. So like, take that for what you will. But like, they really haven't gone up against a true top Chase is that borderline of top five guy. But besides that, this will be the first taste where we really get to see if Sauce can go up against Stephon Diggs or you know, even Gabe Davis and try and shut them down. So that's sometimes you got to look at stats with context, and this will be the real test, I think, for Sauce.
And Jenna,
step up to class.
I'm sorry. What I was trying to get, you know, when I look at the whole division, and we're not, this is not Dolphins week, but obviously the Dolphins are loaded with talent now, and they're pinning a lot on Tua. Patriots and the Jets, to me, are similar. I think Mac Jones, I guess he's better. I'm just not a Mac Jones guy. I guess he's better than Wilson at the moment, right? Because he's guided them to the play, like playoff, whatever you want to say. Yeah. Both teams can play defense. Their offenses are well below par for NFL offenses. They just are. But they are teams that can get after it a little bit defensively, and we'll see how it matches up. The question is, can they score enough points to stay with the Bills? The Bills are that team. And we think the Dolphins have at least shown explosiveness. The Jets and the Patriots were pretty evenly matched teams last week. Like I said, that call was a massive one in the game, that it could have gone either way. But the division is better. There's no question the division is better. The Patriots are, you know, maybe took a little step back. They weren't great last year, but they hung in there. The Dolphins are good, and the Jets are better. They had to be better. So, you know, again, for them, you know, this is their Super Bowl, but it's close, right? They're playing the Bills. They're playing Josh Allen. It's like, you know, it's the best team they're going to play.
I feel like the Jets and the Patriots are like that Spider-Man meme where there's two Spider-Mans like pointing at each other. You're like,
searching for the quarterback.
Yeah, they both have good, solid defenses, and then they're trying to figure out what they can
and
do.
And you have no margin for error when you have that kind of offense. Yep. Like, you have to play that game. Like, look at the two last week, and the Patriots did not get a good game out of Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. They won, but it was picked off. They picked off three. I mean, I'm telling you, he just threw the ball away a few times. Wilson did.
Yep.
And he's seeing ghosts, I think you would say, which another Jets quarterback used to say that. So, hey, and you know what? We'll talk plenty of Jets another time, but teams aren't going to mess around anymore. If it's not happening, they're going to find a way to get another guy in there. That's the way the league is now. It's not like you're going to stick with the guy for 5 years. So he better step it up, or they're going to have a you know, we could see Mike White or Joe Flacco.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Find a way, Mike.
That's it.
Using Mike the White. Bills trade line. All right. So talking about the Bills, obviously the addition of Nyheim Hines, a guy that we were able to see in Buffalo in Orchard Park yesterday at practice. He talked afterwards, Dan. What was just your initial takeaway from what he had to say? As you know, he's a versatile type of player. He's able to return. He's obviously a running back, but a great pass catcher as well. I loved this, before I let you answer, of Josh Allen talking about seeing Hines at practice. And he go, Josh went to Stephon Diggs like, holy crap, he's fast.
Yeah. And I love that. I loved that this is a guy that was hungry for a fresh start, getting away from a Colts team that the last 2 years, I mean, he's had Carson Wentz, the ghost of Matt Ryan, and Sam Ellinger as quarterback around him. Like, he was asked about what it's going to be like to play with Josh Allen, and he was just like, wow, I get to play with all these stars. And you know, he said all the right things about just wanted to come in and help. But I asked him yesterday, where is that fine line between wanting to come in and prove your worth? I always think it's so funny when a player gets traded for, it's always one team saying, we don't really care about you. And it's another team saying like, hey, we want you, like we value you. Come, we want you to be a part of our team. So where's that fine line between like, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I do. And also like I want to prove the Bills right. Like that was what Josh Allen said. Like when they asked him about like the organization, he goes, I wanted to prove the Bills right when they drafted me. And it seemed like Hines kind of had that same thing. I said, what was that fine line? And here's his answer.
I think it's just really with that, it's just humbleness. I feel like my whole life, even when I got the second contract years ago, it's always been about proving to other people. And I think throughout the years I've learned that it's not about proving to anybody. The Bills wanted me here, and that's all that matters. And it doesn't matter what they gave up for me. I'm happy to be here. It's an opportunity. It's a new team, and it's a new situation. So I'm not really going to press hard. I'm going to be me. I feel like these last 5 years I've been me, and that's been good enough. And hopefully it will be here too.
Yeah. Got a chip on his shoulder. Trying to prove himself. I don't think he was a wrestler, but he kind of fits the process. I'm just going to say that.
He just strikes me as very mature. I don't like that to me doesn't scream. I have a chip on my shoulder. If anything, that to me just says like, I'm going to do me. And I know that that's really good. Like,
I think when you're saying chip on the shoulder, meaning like, I mean, he has had to prove it. He's a smaller guy.
Yeah.
You know,
he's Naeem Hines.
Right.
Like this isn't Ezekiel Elliott.
This is a journey.
Now he's kind of on his second team, but like a middle of the road running back.
I will say, I feel like though, when like you go to a Super Bowl contender, like I don't know if I would say that puts like a chip on my shoulder. I think it just says, like, if I were him, I'd be like, thank goodness, like I actually get a shot to win. Like it's not that Colts didn't want me. It's just they can't utilize me as best as what I need. And thankfully, I have another opportunity.
Yeah. Colts people were saying maybe now someone will use this guy the right way. I mean, he has a skill set for the NFL. He absolutely does. He's a return guy. You know, he's taller than Darren Sproles, but he reminds me of a Sproles type player. Sproles was an incredible player, and he was literally 5'6", 5'7", seriously. And, you know, but he was a returner. He had speed. He can run pass routes. That's what this guy brings. And I think he's going to be the punt returner. Yeah. While I think Khalil Shakir's done a good job, they're going to want to trust a veteran, and he's done it before. And I think that element of speed out of the backfield, and not just the ability to catch the ball, but to catch the ball down the field too, which is a different skill set for a running back. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not built normally to track the ball. He does that. And I think it's, you know, and Bean talked about it, Jenna. He said they looked at him in the draft. They looked at him in 2020. They saw him get to the Bills in that playoff game.
Yeah.
And he made some plays in that game. So they've had their eye on him, and now they get him. And I think his skill set fits. And, you know, moving on from Zach Moss, nice guy. He needs a fresh start, but that was an easy call for them.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And I mean, I think the price was definitely right.
Yep.
I mean, considering, and I think the piece about him being the return guy and just having, I mean, Dan, you even talked about it yesterday, like having Khalil Shakir be able to focus on one job and just how much that gives him just to be able to, you know, have his attention where not saying where it should be, but just let him have the ability to kind of flourish there as opposed to diverting what he needs to focus on.
Yeah. Take something off the rookie's plate and just have him focus on, you know, becoming more comfortable in the slot or in the offense. Makes a lot of sense.
And the last thing on the return game is they always had the backup of, well, Micah Hyde will catch the punt.
Correct.
And they don't have Micah. So you have a veteran and you do have Shakir if you need him in there. And, you know, that's an issue. And And that's one of those. May not be for 50 returns a year, but it might be for that one in the game against the Dolphins or the Chiefs in the playoffs. Yeah. And you want him to catch it, move it forward. You know, not necessarily a touchdown, but which would be great. But I think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. All right. So we got to hear from Brandon Bean on Wednesday at practice. Was asked a bunch about the NFL trade deadline. And then, Dan, he was also asked about Odell Beckham Jr. and just kind of what the conversations have been like around the wide receiver. What was your takeaway from what Bean had to say?
He's a heck of a talent. and this isn't the first time we've asked Bean about OBJ. We've talked about that Vaughn's been recruiting him heavily on social media.
So is Trey White.
Trey White said he sent him about 2,700 Buffalo Bills emojis. I think that Bean is Bean's a constant guy that's calling teams and constantly checking in, always trying to improve this roster. I think most competent GMs are doing that. There's only a few teams, though. It is going to come down to me, guys, is what does Beckham want? Does he want to be the guy? Right. Does he want to be the guy and get the money, or does he want another ring? Now he has the ring. Now, what does he want? Because there are a couple of other places, and I know Mike Florio today was on his show on NBC and was saying that it's only a matter of time before OBJ signs with the Bills. That would be great. I have been saying that since training camp, that I think he's would absolutely fit well into this offense. He's not the diva that he was. When he was with the Giants and the Browns. But if I'm OBJ, I also can understand the fact that if he wants to go get a 2 or 3 year deal with the Green Bay Packers, makes a lot of sense to me as well. And being the number one guy.
Yeah, it could be in Green Bay. The other place he could go is Dallas.
Yep. Yeah. Dallas. Absolutely.
Dallas needs another weapon. Yep. But you know what? I look at the Bills offense at the wide receiver position. And we've talked about this a lot with Gabe. Gabe Davis's role is huge for this team because he can get deep and make those plays. But what have we talked about with Gabe? He's not the consistent 5-for-75 guy. He's not. His numbers are big, low. Big, low. It's just what it's been. A little bit of injury he's been dealing with. That has clouded it this year. When Gabe goes, he goes big.
Yep.
But who's their third most dependable guy?
It's Diggs.
No, third most.
Third, I thought you said,
yeah, there's a drop off.
I mean, who do you say is the guy? Like, and we all love Isaiah. He's had an up and down time. You know, he made a nice play last week. Shakir's a rookie, you know, and then you start looking and you say, who is? So start wheeling out that group of three, where it's Gabe, Diggs, and OBJ. But your point about the money is he's going to want a deal. He's a free agent. This is what sometimes fans, they talk about getting other players that are under contract, like Hines or anybody. They're under contract. You fit them in. In this case, he can say to teams, I got 5 teams trying to get me. Who's going to give me the best deal with the most money? Mm-hmm. You know, and that doesn't mean, you know, Green Bay, sure. But they have not shown an interest in doing that at all for Rodgers. But if Dallas is in it, Kansas City's in it, who knows with Miami? They could be in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'd think
because the salary cap isn't real. I just want to put that out there again today. Real. Bradley Chubb now has got a massive contract. I'm pretty sure Xavier Howard has a massive contract. I'm pretty sure Tyreek Hill has a massive contract. Oh, and guess what? If Tua keeps playing like this, he'll get a massive contract because the NFL salary cap isn't real. End of rant.
But my point is, thank you. That rant brought to you by Connors and Ferris. My point is there's going to be teams going for him. Like, this was different. You traded for Hines. He's coming to the Bills. This is different. There's no trade here. He's a free agent who can sit back. He could come to a team with 5 weeks left in the season. And
go to the Chargers, too.
I don't know what it takes to sign him. Like, is it going to be he's working out for everybody? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit. You got to have faith.
Yep.
You know, he's got to pass a physical. I get it. But there's passing a physical, and then there's being ready to go.
But my thing, too, is that at one point I thought this was kind of going to be like a rental deal. like 1 year, signed for this year. If I'm OBJ, I want security that I'm going to be at a place for 2 to 3 years. Like,
I just don't,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
there's no rental here.
Yeah, I'm not signing to play with a team for 6 games in the playoffs
with no
security. So, like, this thought, like, originally I had sign him in training camp, get the 1 year deal, see what you can do. And now it's like, that was stupid of me to think because he's going to want a 2 to 3 year deal.
Of course he is. Jenna, there's absolutely no way he's signing. It would be a bad move for him because if he plays, he's got to play like over the top great.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, if he comes back and he doesn't look good, he's shown everybody that. You got to get paid, and he should.
Yeah.
Get paid now. He's going to have offers. But Jenna, what'd you think of Bean being so basically, I love OBJ too, is kind of what he was saying.
Yeah, I feel like Bean is a very smart guy and uses the media as a tool. And I think him saying like he's a heck of a talent, like all this stuff, that to me says that to me, I'm like, okay, there are conversations happening. Now, at the end of the day, like you said, it's got to be two sides agreeing. And what does OBJ want and the security that comes with it? And are the Bills willing to give that? But if I were OBJ, I would want to go to a team like the Bills. Because I think you're coming off the injury. Obviously, that can be a little bit tricky to have other guys to kind of, I don't want to say rely on, but also help you. Like, it's not all on you. And I think that gives him more of leeway to kind of get back up to speed. Obviously, he does have the ring too. But if I were him, I would want to go get a, I don't want to say a real ring, but like I would want to be there. Ooh. I don't want to say that, but like, you know, I would want to be with the team and I would want to go to another Super Bowl. That's what it's all about. Like,
you're 100% right. And if you're him, you know what? You come to Buffalo and make five big plays down the stretch.
Yeah.
It's what Von Miller did. It wasn't the total numbers. He made big plays for them down the stretch and in the playoffs. You come in and do that. Diggs is going to catch his. Gabe's going to catch a few long ones. OBJ makes those plays. He looks phenomenal. You're not asking him to come in and go for 10 for 140. That's not what they're thinking because Diggs can do that. Yeah. It's just the way these other guys talk about him. He's a popular guy. He is. And the guys who know him love him. So, and having 17 as your quarterback is the biggest drawing card.
Yeah. Like if I look at Miami, I think, wow, they're really good. But I have questions at quarterback. I do. And when you look at around the conference and all of these things, like the Bills
he's playing pretty well.
He is playing well. Yeah. But like,
it's also Miami. You got Miami if he wants to be in Miami.
That's true.
Come on. We're talking about the end of the year. You're playing like you want to be in the big games. He does. I think he does. So, and he's not going back to the Rams because they stink. So,
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, I think there's decisions to be made, but I think after hearing Bean talk, I think the Bills are more invested than I once thought. I'll put it that way.
I'm with you.
Dan, you don't seem to agree.
No, I've heard and read reports that they've been in it this offseason. I think at this stage and even during the offseason, I think you're just constantly checking in. How's he feeling? How's the rehab going? Where are we at? You know, you're talking to those people. And like I said, and you have, not only do you have the Von Miller connection where they're best friends, but Trey White talked about it. Obviously that he's known him since 2013, him and Jarvis Landry were the ones at LSU that Trey went in as a wide receiver and they said, well, you're not getting on the field with these two guys. And so he's like, all right, I'll go play on the other side of the ball. Like they have they keep in touch. So all that plays into it.
Yeah. The last thing I would say is for the Bills, you would be excited that he comes, but would you be more excited that he comes to Buffalo or more worried if he went to the Chiefs?
More worried.
More worried.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Yes.
I think you would be saying, please go to Dallas. If you're not coming to us, go to Dallas.
Absolutely. That was somebody made the comment about Bradley Chubb, and they go, at least the Chiefs didn't get him. And I said, touche.
I do understand that. Yep. But, you know, still got the Dolphins to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Well, speaking of maneuvering and the trade deadline and doing due diligence and checking in on players. We heard some insight about just Brandon Bean and what he does, you know, around trade deadlines and what his job is like in the NFL. And I don't know, was there anything that stood out to you?
There was one bite. I think we have it cut that puts into perspective how things work in the Bills organization and how they like to handle things. And he provides some perspective on how we handle things with our job, which I think is also important when news comes out, Mike.
Yeah, it's news. And this world we live in, there's a lot out there, including something that Dan reported that, well, let's hear from Brandon Bean talking about that whole world that they live in, we all live in, who cover the NFL and how they approach it.
There are times when things get put out there that the Buffalo Bills are after this player. Sometimes I'm not even aware. And I say that in the sense that a scout may have, you know, we may have a scout and he's in charge of the Denver Broncos and he may call his contact at that team and say, hey, is this guy even available? Should I even mention him? Should I not? Sometimes you never even hear back whether the guy's available or not. And then you read 2 days later that we went after him. I know you guys have a job to do, but sometimes when you hear we're involved. Now, again, I did on Christian McCaffrey, I did speak to the Panthers GM, never made him an offer, but did stay in touch through the process. And ultimately, it was going to be more than we were going to be able to do.
Okay. So I'll set this up. Dan had a report, said that the Bills had reached out to the Panthers about Christian McCaffrey. The Bills told us they were not happy because they wanted a chance to respond. When they did respond, they said that it was not accurate, that wasn't true. It was true. And then from that point on, they've been fine. I think at that time, Dan's report was accurate and it struck a nerve with the team because in this whole world of trying to make a deal, the more things get out, the more you heard him just say, one of their scouts hears, reads something on Twitter. That's actually sometimes what happens. Like, wait a minute, is this guy available? And then boom, they're out there asking about it. Then a report gets out. So look, I understand that they're not going to always tell us the truth. It's to the benefit of them. It's not like they're also not telling us who's starting at, you know, right guard and right tackle until they have to. Like, they try to protect certain things. But this is the world we live in, too, where we're trying to get information. It's a competitive thing.
Yeah.
And the information was correct. Now, Dan, you understand why they would say it's not true, because it was of no benefit to them to
Absolutely.
Agree with that.
And I also think that things get out because certain people want them to get out.
Yes.
I think that's very telling. And
yeah,
part of what Bean said in his opening monologue was also saying the fact of, like, all of a sudden people said that we're interested in Alvin Kamara and that we got rebuffed and that the Bills made a trade offer and it didn't happen. I think part of that is also sometimes that gets out because the team is trying to drum up interest from other
Absolutely.
Teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes Absolutely. I think all of the respected people who are insiders and work for big networks are fed stories or are told things to help facilitate a narrative. Yeah. So there are sometimes when you hear something and go, well, why would that be getting out? LeBron James is a king of it. Like, they are like NBA Twitter and NBA, like this league, all those things. It happens in the NFL too. And so, like I said, I had a source that said that there was contact between the Bills and Carolina the Tuesday after they fired Matt Rhule. The Bills at the time told me that wasn't accurate and they were unhappy with the report. We now fast forward. Christian McCaffrey is now on the 49ers and Bean says he did have contact. So
right.
Like I said, I'm not bitter saying, well, I can't believe shocking that an NFL team wouldn't be honest. Like,
but it's of no benefit to them Correct. To be honest. Yeah. And it's fine if they say, I have no problem with them saying that's not true.
Correct.
In hindsight, he says it is true. Bean is a pro. He's always been professional with us. He's a great general manager. All those things. He's also doing a job. he's as open as almost any general manager. Even those things we talked about today, like they don't, not all of them say stuff like that. They act like they're covering the nuclear codes, but there are times when it's a absolute strategic thing. And I'm just making this up. You know, they're trying to, maybe they're looking, can we get a deal done quickly before everybody and their brother is in on it? Now, it's not that crazy to think when you fire the coach and you're a mess in Carolina that anybody could be available. You just saw Bradley Chubb get traded because Russell Wilson stunk so far, right? Yeah. This is what teams do. But I do find it fascinating, and I do agree, his point about any contact can get reported.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean it's not true, but it's not always as cut and dried. Brandon Bean got on the phone, called Howie Roseman with the Eagles, and made an offer for this guy. Part of it could be true. They could be talking about multiple players. It could be assistant GM. It could be a scout. They're trying to reach out to say, hey, Brandon, this is whatever. One thing I don't believe, if I'm a scout and I'm reaching out to a team about a player, I think I might send an email to Brandon and say I reached out on it. But yeah, if he wants to say he wasn't involved in it, it could have been at a really odd level with Kamara. But, hey, look, when all's said and done, they got a guy who I think is going to help them. They didn't give up a ton.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And also, the guy they were looking at, Dan, is playing in the NFC. So if they see him, they're seeing him in the Super Bowl. So they're not really that worried about it.
And it's also part of this stuff, Jenna, is like when you hear it. Like it's just checking in on things that you hear at certain times. Like if I didn't check in that day with a source, then we don't have the Christian McCaffrey news. And that may come out weeks later, like it did. So all that too is timing. And what that's something the Bills and Brandon Bean, they don't like things to get out. So
and they're
I
good
also
at
understand
it.
And they're very good at it.
I think that plays into it.
Right. But if they call a team and that team says something to an agent who says something to somebody else, there's the difference.
Like Jenna,
it wasn't Bean.
Yeah. And Jenna, the key thing he said in all that, Kamara and McCaffrey, he did not want the narrative to be that the Bills made an offer on either one of those players.
Yeah.
And maybe they never did. Dan didn't report that. You reported they reached out to him. So,
well, I think it two things stand out to me. One is you're right. There are very few leaks that come out of one Bills drive. Even I think the trade deadline. Like it was 4:01 when that trade was reported. And I think that was very purposeful because they don't like other outside factors being involved. That being said, it makes sense why they would be, you know, I don't want to say up in arms, but I understand the reaction to Dan's tweet because that was, there's also a sliding scale, I feel like you said, of like, reaching out to a team is a part of the due diligence of being a good general manager and a good scouting staff.
Yep.
And I think sometimes it's, and like Dan did not say there was an offer or anything like that, but I think sometimes we all read into what we see so much. Yep. And so there's a lot of factors at play, but no, I mean, it makes sense because of, you know, Twitter is a very powerful tool.
It is.
It's incredible kind of how things, even when it's, you know, just a simple tweet, how things can kind of be implied by the reaction. Kind of, you know, my mom always told me, like, when you're reading a text, sometimes you put the meaning into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that's very true. So,
and we'll end Val. with this.
Shout out Val.
Shout out Val. Wearing
a scarf soon.
And we will end with this. Unlike the running game, in this case, Dan was right.
Dan was right.
Wait. 1 sec.
You had that locked and ready to go.
Okay. By the way, I want to tell everybody, people have been reaching out about the hats. We are going to have something where we're going to be giving away some hats to some of our loyal people. We're still figuring out some of the mechanics of it, but these are in demand. In demand. I got people reaching out to me. Everybody wants the Buffalo Plus look. So we will let you know when the hats are out.
Yeah. And if there's another form of merch that you guys, that you all would be interested in, just to give us ideas for maybe the future of the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, please drop a comment of some of the things that you would like to see.
Yep.
Just to see. Comment. What should people comment, you think, other than merch questions.
I mean, to me, I think the biggest thing is OBJ. Like, in that case, do you want him? Or are you worried about him going somewhere else?
Yeah. Okay. That's Agreed. Fair. All right. Thank you all for joining us so much. For Mike and Dan, I'm Jenna. Please be sure to, like we said, like, have the comment about OBJ, your thoughts and opinions, as well as subscribe. We always appreciate it. We're closing in on 20,000, which is really, really exciting. So, yeah, to all your friends, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening or watching the Buffalo Plus podcast. We will catch you next time here on the Buffalo Plus channel.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.